The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
All right. It's not looking good for Roy Moore again today. Senate Republicans really don't want to get him elected, and neither do at least five women now. Yesterday, Beverly Young Nelson announced at a news conference that Moore attacked her in his car when she was 16 and he was 30. Nelson said Moore offered to drive her home one night after she was waitressing on her shift and it was over. Her boyfriend didn't show up, so he said, "I'll take you home." She said they got into the car and he drove her to the back of the restaurant where he locked the doors and then he groped her. He tried to take her skirt off, grabbed her neck, and tried to force her head toward his crotch. She said, "I thought he was going to rape me." After she struggled against his advantage, his advances, she said that he dumped her out of the car in the parking lot and sped away. She also said that Moore told her that he was the district attorney and she was just a child and no one will ever believe you if she tried to report the incident. Moore says this is all a witch hunt, but even if one of the allegations against him is even partially true, everybody in Washington is saying he should drop out of the race and check into therapy. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell believes the woman and now wants Moore to drop out. Now Republicans are brainstorming ways to kick Moore out, even if he wins in Alabama's special Senate election on December 12th. One option would be for Republicans to allow him to be seated in the U.S., the Senate, and then expel him. Some are even considering a write-in candidate. That seems unrealistic this close to the election. But then again, no Democrat has ever won a Senate seat from Alabama in 25 years, so it may not be so far-fetched. This Alabama Senate election is a microcosm of America's current social and political quagmire. The flood of sexual assault and harassment accusations against powerful men and the willingness of voters on the right and the left to overlook serious character problems in candidates in order to win. Some things are more important than winning. Will America rediscover them?
It's Tuesday, November 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, could you remind me? I know I really strongly dislike Gloria Allred. I was watching this yesterday where she brought out the victim and she's glued herself to her shoulder. So there was no way the camera could ever shoot without Gloria Allred in it.
Yeah, it's really strange. She's standing or she's sitting next to the reported victim and her face is approximately 9 inches away from her face. Well,
she's staring straight into her cheek. Yeah, she's at her shoulder.
Yeah. It's very strange.
And leaning into her, it's really... But could you just remind me? It's just that every time... She's like, to me, she's Al Sharpton. If you see a press conference with Al Sharpton, you immediately dismiss it.
Right. She's taken lots of high-profile, sort of salacious media cases. Mm-hmm. She's constantly coming up with accusers against Republicans. She does the press conference the same way, seemingly every time. She did it with a bunch of the Trump accusers during the... during the campaign, where she sits, you know, very close to them, and they all read while sitting at the table, read the statement, they read it, and, you know, without exception, cry.
Yeah, and she's always there with a box of Kleenex. Right. I mean, it's such a stage show. It's awful.
It really hurts the credibility of any accuser that goes to her because she's just such. I mean, she's Al Sharpton. It's like it's hard to take anything that happens. I mean, you watched this thing like yesterday, and obviously the woman's very upset and everything else. Gloria Allred sucks some of the credibility out of anything she's associated with.
I think if this woman would have come out without Gloria Allred at her side, it would have made a much bigger impact. Just by having Gloria Allred at her side has made so many people, makes me immediately go, okay, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Because she's just such a hack. And so you don't take her seriously. The days of the Al Sharptons and the Glory Allreds, I think, are long gone. And let's celebrate for a moment. However, a new group of scumbags will, you know, they'll appear at some point. But until then, we just have to have Glory Allred and Al Sharpton. But so dismiss her for a second and listen. And it's amazing because I listened to this today. I listened to the audio and I watched the audio yesterday, and she seemed to have more credibility than when I listened to her. It just doesn't sound right when I'm listening to her, but watch her and it seems right.
And she has some corroborating evidence, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to that in a second. First, let's listen to her. Here's cut one, Beverly Moore in car.
Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me and putting his hands on my breast. I tried to open my car door to leave, but he reached over and he locked it so I could not get out. I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop. But instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch. He was also trying to pull my shirt off. I thought that he was going to rape me. I was twisting, and I was struggling, and I was begging him to stop.
It's such a weird format. It's like, here's a horrible story from this woman's life. Why is she reading it? Like, this is something she lived, right? It's because Allred wants to control the entire thing.
Yes.
It's just a strange way to present these stories. I mean, it has nothing to do with whether it's true or not. It's just a bad way of doing it.
It just hurts her. Mm-hmm. It just hurts the story. Okay, here she is being threatened to stay quiet. Listen.
At some point, he gave up. And he then looked at me and he told me, he said, "You're just a child." And he said, "I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you."
If you watch that, that seems credible. That seemed real. The first one, I don't know. She seemed like she was trying to force her feelings a little bit. And I think it's just from, again, Allred coaching. Mm-hmm. However, this one felt personal and real. So that's her side. Now, here's what Roy Moore said immediately after. Watch. Listen.
"I want to make it perfectly clear. The people of Alabama know me. They know my character. They know what I've stood for in the political world for over 40 years. And I can tell you without hesitation, this is absolutely false. I never did what she said I did. I don't even know the woman. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know where the restaurant is or was. And if you look at this situation, you'll see that because I'm 11 points ahead, or 10 or 11 points ahead, this race being just 28 days off, that this is a political maneuver and has nothing to do with reality. It's all about politics."
Okay, first of all, that just... Whether he's telling the truth or not, unfortunately, that feels like this.
"I did not have sexual relations with that woman."
It sounds the same, at least to me. It felt the same. Now, here's the problem with this. He says, "I don't know her. I've never met her. And I don't even know where the restaurant is or was." The evidence that she presented yesterday is his signature in her yearbook. I don't understand how... Have you ever signed a yearbook outside of high school, Stu?
I don't think so.
I haven't. So I don't know how the yearbooks were all signed by this guy. But so he signed yet another yearbook where he signed it. And in this... He said, to the most beautiful girl. Do you have it?
Yeah, this, to a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas. Christmas, 1977, love, Roy Moore, Roy Moore, DA, and then gives the date, which is December 22nd, 1977.
Here's the real problem.
And then it says Old Hickory House, which is the name of the restaurant she worked at, right? Now, again, obviously, I don't know what the excuse. I don't think he's denied it was him who wrote this. And, you know, maybe he knew her, for 10 minutes and he was being nice. And there's,
she
signing a yearbook does not prove he tried to rape her.
No, so here's what could have happened. He could have been at the Old Hickory House, which he doesn't recall now at all because he was only there once. And it's a small county and that was open very, it was open for a week.
It wasn't open for a week.
Yeah. But, and so he doesn't recall it at all, but he was there. She was the waitress. She happened to have her yearbook there. She sees him. Oh, that's the district attorney. Would you sign my yearbook? He signs the yearbook and then writes underneath Old Hickory because that's where he was sitting.
Right. It's not plausible. Impossible. Of course, the fact that he denied knowing about the restaurant
is a
not helpful.
No.
If that were the actual case, which makes me think it isn't the actual case.
Now, here's a list of all of the people that were on board and now are jumping off board.
Okay, so here are these are the people who have denounced his campaign. John McCain was the first one the day the story came out. Mike Lee and Steve Daines, the next two, and Jeff Flake. That was on Friday. Then on Sunday, you had Bill Cassidy, you had Pat Toomey, and you had Bob Corker. Then I guess, let's see, yesterday it was a bunch. You had Mitch McConnell, which was kind of the one that was promoted the most. Ted Cruz. You had John Cornyn, Cory Gardner, who this is after he had banned birth control. You should know that. I don't know why he would. He does not have the right to comment on these things after the guy bans birth control.
He didn't.
Then he does this.
That was a campaign commercial. It was total lie.
Cory Gardner banned birth control.
No, he didn't.
Shelby, which is a big one, obviously being from Alabama. Then you had Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins, Orrin Hatch, and Todd Young.
I mean,
so you think you're
he's lost everyone.
You're at 16, well, not everyone, 16 of 52 Senate Republicans have now denounced or withdrawn their endorsement.
Not good. Not good.
Suboptimal if you want if you want a Republican to
really
have that seat.
Really not a good thing.
Again, they can't really do anything, though. As you point out, there are some crazy things they can try to do. But the bottom line is that people in Alabama are going to make this decision. Moore cites the poll where he's up 10. Two other polls have shown different stories, one showing a tie, another showing his opponent up 4. It could go really either way. The people from Alabama are going to look at this.
It's a long way away from the election.
I was just going to say, 28 days is an eternity.
Way. Yeah.
An eternity in these things. And I honestly,
I could see the people of Alabama saying, we know, remember, because it's always, like all elections are local. And everybody can look at a Chuck Schumer and go, the guy's a dirtbag. But the people in New York, they're like, I know him. I trust him. He's my buddy. And so, you have no idea how the people of Alabama are going to react to this. It's not going well. It's not going well for Roy Moore. And I am, for one, I don't want to hear anything from the left. Chelsea Handler yesterday tweeted, can you imagine being this woman and have to listen and not being believed and all that? Yeah. Yeah. You know who retweeted that with an answer to it? The answer just said, yes, I can imagine. Juanita Broderick. When the left decides to believe Juanita Broderick, who I believe was so credible, when they will actually take on Bill Clinton and say, you know what, maybe we should look at those women, maybe we've done a disservice, when they begin to look at him, I will believe they actually mean it, and it isn't just about politics.
Thank you.
lots of people calling in. I bet you want to comment on this. We'll try to get your phone call in. 888-727-BECK. Tanya and I needed to redo our bedroom. I don't know if you're like this, but our bedroom is always the last thing to be redone in the house. I mean, everything else gets it first, and our bedroom is the last. And she was tired of the way the bedroom looked, and so I had promised her, I don't remember, Valentine's Day, because I was so romantic or something. And I said, I'm going to get this done this year. And so we took the time on a Saturday morning and we contacted Blinds.com. I expected that I was only going to have to make an appointment with them. I didn't expect them to write back right away and go, hey, we're ready to help. But we did a FaceTime session with them. We took pictures of the house, the bedroom, and then superimposed the pictures of the drapes that we wanted. And I mean, it was unbelievably fast and easy. Blinds.com can completely transform your room. They gave us the best customer service we've ever experienced. And if you mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they'll remake your blinds or your shades for free. They'll even send you free samples to make sure that everything looks as good in person as it does online. So every order gets free shipping. Their prices are the best. And right now they're even better. You can find out why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings, because now, between now and November 20th, listen to this, you're going to save 40% off of everything when you go to Blinds.com. Plus, you'll save an additional 5% if you enter the promo code Beck. So you'll save 45% if you use the promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com. Promo code Beck. Save 45% right now at Blinds.com until November 20th. Rules and restrictions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. We're so glad that you're here. There's some amazing stuff going on. We're doing a special this week on theblaze.com. My TV show at 5 o'clock is doing a 4-part series on Antifa and what Antifa really is. What are they really for? What's their history? We've dug into it and had our researchers put together a chalkboard series on Antifa, and it is really quite stunning. And we've tried to make it so your kids or, college students are going to be able to listen to that and say, OK, well, he's not just rejecting it out of hand. And I'm trying to approach this so you can share it with somebody who is kind of falling for it and trying to present the message to them. So it will help you out. So you'll be able to learn something and you'll be able to share it with a friend or a loved one that might be going in the wrong direction. The history of Antifa coming up. We have time now to share this jacket. I think we have time now. This thing is unbelievable. This is a new designer jacket. And it is for the Antifa and anarchist movement. It is a it's a army jacket, if you will, and the designer took a Sharpie and wrote all kinds of things on them. For instance, on one pocket it says no borders and protect what you love. The other side it says they've tried to burn us. They didn't know we were seeds. It says revolution off to the side. I like this one because it's so in touch with the kids today. Drop acid, not bombs. Oh, my gosh. On the other sleeve, if you look on the other sleeve, it says a bombing for peace is like for virginity. But my favorite is underneath that sleeve, that same sleeve. Could you read that for me, Stu? If this doesn't say everything.
It says, I am valuable. I am powerful. I am deserving.
Unbelievable.
Ugh.
Okay, so now
By the way, I noticed
the,
this too. Did you notice this on the back of the collar?
Yeah.
It just says New World Order.
Oh my gosh. So here's the thing about this jacket. This jacket is sold at Barney's for $400 in New York. So they're selling an Antifa anarchist jacket for $400. What? So you can throw a Molotov cocktail through the Barney's window on your way out? What?
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome back.
So the other day, USA Today taught us all a little bit about guns.
Oh yeah,
and the need, the need for really understanding the ins and outs. Because I mean, a lot of people will say guns are good or guns are bad, and not really understand the nuances of firearm use right. in this country.
And USA Today does,
and they do.
They not only understand, they not only stand the nuances of gun safety, they also understand what the rails on an AR are for. Mm-hmm. They understand all of the attachments.
They understand that. And, yeah. and they were talking about the shooting the last week and discussing the intricacies of the weapon he used. And they showed the different attachments. And they said, you know, these are the only attachments you can have, though.
Yeah.
There are some other attachments.
Yes.
And you should know about them, such as, for example, the shotgun attachment, which you would take an AR-15 and then attach, for some reason, a shotgun to the bottom of it.
Correct. And everybody has one.
Which everyone basically has.
Everyone has one.
And then, of course, the very famous chainsaw bayonet.
Yes.
Now,
who doesn't?
You may have never seen, because if you're not from Texas or one of these southern states with all the rednecks in it, you may have never seen someone with a chainsaw bayonet, but it's very common.
I told my son, I gave it to him for Christmas. I think he was about six, and I said, try to be careful with this. And so, you know, he's been having the AR with the chainsaw attachment for years. Now, I don't know if you saw this, Stu, but I went out. I spent the day. I couldn't find a single Cabela's that was selling the chainsaw attachment.
That's so strange, because I think it's something like 97% of all guns have chainsaws attached to them. And I don't know. Maybe they were all sold out because so many have been sold.
Could have been. So we had to make ours, and I went to the range.
And seems like a good idea. Let me just say that out front.
It seems like a good idea. Something that the NRA would be all for.
Oh, my gosh. Have they endorsed this yet?
No, they haven't. No, they haven't.
Huh.
In case you missed it, here's a little clip of it.
We heard
scary.
From USA Today the other day about all of the dangerous things that you could just buy right off the shelf to adapt your AR rifle. Of course, the one that everybody who's in the NRA knows is, of course, the AR chainsaw attachment. Here in Texas, they apparently were all sold out. We couldn't find it at a single Cabela's, so we had to make one ourselves. And, you know, I don't know what we've been doing this whole time, missing out on all of the fun.
Look at that thing.
Because, you know, there's really no reason for the chainsaw. You know, after all, you really have to do is...
Sight was off.
Shoot your target.
Nice
now in the
here.
Head. And there's really absolutely no way he's going to survive that.
And shooting a dummy.
But just to make sure, we have the chainsaw bayonet. Now, I want you to know, yes, it is a scary looking black gun, but it's environmentally friendly. We didn't want to put any more nasty CO2 into the atmosphere, so shot your victim, and of course he's completely dead. You get down to your victim, who is clearly already dead, shot him in the mouth and the eyes and in the neck, and then you can go to work. Just take your AR from scary to sick. May I say, God bless America.
I don't know if that's up at glenbeck.com, but you have to see that. You can make it yourself. I mean, all those things, as scary as it is, available, you know, at your local hardware store. AR not included.
Well, yeah, that's kind of an important part of that. Right. But you do need very dangerous weapons to defend yourselves against the scary things
now,
in our environment.
I'm working on something new, and I am going to, I hope to, unveil it at the M1 Ball this Saturday. And it is the ultimate attachment to an AR. And I've been working on it. I've seen the designs.
I've seen the blueprints.
Yeah.
And I can agree that if you get this thing done, it's going to be the most devastating attachment.
I don't know if I'll have it ready, but I hope to unveil it at the M1 Ball. And then that way I'll be able to take my competition out for the armadillo race, who I believe has to be cheating. Welcome to the program, Jeff Fisher.
Hello, Glenn.
Hi.
Hello, Stu.
Hello, Jeffy.
So we're doing an armadillo race, which, by the way, they are carriers of leprosy. I just want to throw that in again.
That's not going to scare me.
No. So we're having an armadillo race. I've never been in an armadillo race, but you can bet on us, and all the proceeds go for charity. And for some reason, Jeffy is creaming all of us. And, I mean, I don't even know how. He doesn't even have a show. Nothing. Oh. He is.
Now, Jeffy, of course, was hosting the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson this morning. I happened to see that when we came in.
Right. Yes, I was. I filled in for Doc the last couple of days. Right. I don't know the Blaze radio
network.
Other than that, I got nothing.
You got nothing.
Well,
I got
Chewing the Fat on the Pat Gray Unleashed program.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Chewing the Fat with Jeffy.
But nothing else.
Other than that.
Yeah, well, you have a podcast.
Well, there's podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's that? Anyway, so those podcasts, that's a fad.
Nobody.
Anyway, so Jeffy, I wanted to bring you in.
Yeah.
Because a listener.
Oh, boy.
Yes. A listener wrote in, Glenn and Stu, you should know. Did I tell you that I felt really, really bad that I broke the boot off of the armadillo the other day?
What?
Yeah, I broke the boot off the armadillo. It was here and I broke it on the air.
The trophy
and
that I'm going to win?
And it really bothered me.
Yeah, he was very
deeply.
He was worked up about that because it was the big prize for the armadillo
and
race.
For the actual race.
Yeah.
I mean, the race of financial, that's just another race. That's a race.
This is for
the
trophy.
Hands down. I'm already winning hands down.
Right. You are winning. You are winning so
and
far.
I've been practicing.
Yeah, so anyway, it says just an FYI, Jeffy broke the armadillo leg. He did it on Facebook Live last week. He just stuck it back on there. It's not Glenn's fault.
Is this true?
Absolutely true.
100%.
You let Glenn suffer on national radio television.
I was in the other room going, Mercury One, do not come over to Glenn Beck. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. I asked her later that day if she'd come over and told you that it was already broken.
No, we have listeners who like us.
Yeah. I mean, not enough, apparently,
not enough.
Because I'm in second to last place and Glenn's in third to last place.
It's wrong.
I mean, it broke.
So how did you break it?
But it broke.
Right. So how did you break it? Did you take a bite out of it or what happened?
Yes, it was lunchtime. That's what happened.
I heard that if you fry them up,
the armadillo
can get
pick those up right off the road. They're good to go.
They're carriers of leprosy.
Not after you cook them. Now the people are kind enough to have me in front, defeating you people.
I mean, seriously,
other people.
You are up by give or take 50% over Pat.
I know,
who is in second place, and you're crushing us. You're three times basically Glenn and I.
Listen, people. People.
This isn't right.
This is wrong.
Fix this.
This is wrong.
Fix this.
Go to mercury1.org and fix this.
Mercury1.org/armadillo is how you can get there. You can see the race and you can donate.
Clearly,
and this
donate
money,
to me.
All the money goes to charity. All the money goes to Mercury One.
You're right. And so when you do that, when you donate something, you can select who it will benefit on the armadillo race.
It obviously cannot be Jeffy.
It should not be Jeffy. It should
be
Stu.
Anyone. It could be anyone.
You could
put money on leprosy.
Doc,
be okay.
Pat, Brad, anybody.
Yeah.
Just not Jeffy.
Really?
Yes.
Can't be done.
Wow.
can't be done.
I mean, a vote for Jeffy is a vote for leprosy.
It really is. Really is. You hang around him too much and your fingers start to fall off. Your arms fall off. So it's ugly. It's ugly. So thank you, Jeffy, for making me feel good.
It was great to stop by and see you.
Glad no, it was always
see
good to see you,
boy. Oh, yeah. Man, did I miss seeing you.
Oh, do I miss you every day? You bet. You bet.
And thank you for breaking the trophy.
Yeah.
That was incredibly nice.
I thought it was classy that you owned up to it, too. You didn't just go, oh, crap, and stick the boot back on. I'm glad. No, that's a classy move.
Well,
it's a classy move.
What else you gonna do?
I don't know. Admit it, you know.
I did.
Okay.
After you confronted me.
Thank you, Jeffy. By the way, last night I finished three paintings. I kind of want to sell them as a set, but I don't think anybody's going to buy them as a set. The three people that are the defenders of freedom. The three people that were really responsible for bringing down the Berlin Wall, one is Ronald Reagan, one is Pope John Paul, and the third is, I think, Meryl Streep. No, Margaret Thatcher.
Did you have a review here, Jeffy, on some of the artwork?
Glenn's actually getting pretty good. I'm looking at him going, those aren't bad.
Yeah, those aren't.
Those aren't bad. Yeah, you're getting pretty good. I mean, you're saying you did those.
Yeah, I did them.
I mean, I know your name's on them, but I'm actually saying
no. I did them.
Okay,
you can verify. My wife yelled at me all weekend. Believe me,
those look great.
Those cause battle scars at the house. She's like, "Stop it, stop it, enough."
And so it's
and you listened clearly.
Yeah, I did.
Jean-Luc Picard.
No, that's Pope John Paul.
A young Hillary Clinton.
No, that's Margaret Thatcher.
And of course, the Cowardly Lion from
the Cowardly
that
Lion.
That would be Ronald Reagan.
It looks like the Cowardly
Lion. He was really hard. He was really hard. I struggled with that one. He was hard. Pope John Paul, Margaret Thatcher, pretty easy. Ronald Reagan, for some reason. But, I mean, it doesn't look like the Cowardly Lion, does it?
Yeah, look, if you kind of look at, like, if you look at the fur around his mouth, as the white part is fur.
No, it's not fur.
Now it looks like it's a Cowardly Lion.
It does look like a big mustache thing happening.
Are you making? Is that a commentary on Reagan? Are you saying he was a coward? Is that what that is?
No, I'm not.
I mean, you know, Glenn, he's the 100th most important person in the world of art. This is a guy who makes statements
with his art.
With his art, you know that, Jeffy.
Absolutely. We've known that for years.
I think these will be posted up on their auction site, and then they will go for the live auction. But I think you can bid on them online as well. They're not up there yet, but they will be, I think, tomorrow or something, at mercury1.org / M1 Ball. I think we'll take you there. You just look for the auctions.
They really should be sold as a set, though.
I mean, I think that, so. That they were made for a set.
Yeah, that is a set.
They were made as a set.
So you can't sell them separate, period.
I don't want to, but, you know, it's for charity, so whatever they want to do.
And you go to mercury1.org/ Ronald Reagan is a coward if you want to look at Glenn's latest artwork.
No, that's not even...
it's a strange stance.
No,
I'll say.
I don't know what that even... When you book your next business trip, make sure you use Upside.com. And here's why. They're going to give you two of the best gifts anyone could give you this holiday. And that is, first, a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones so you can have some peace and quiet on your business trip. The second is the gift of a better business travel experience. Only Upside has customer service specialists who look out every step of the way for you on your business trip. They will handle any problem that might pop up. Their goal, really, they are driven as a company. And I was amazed by this. The average time spent is, I think, like 87 minutes trying to book your business travel. That's crazy. That's the average. They want to get that down to about 3 minutes. And I think they have it down to about six or so. And that's one of the reasons why they have these people that are helping you out, these navigators that can make sure that everything is done and buttoned up quickly. You get a great price on hotel, on cars, and on the hotel, and they will show you how to save more money. Here's how you get your free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Book your first business trip at upside.com/Beck, and the Bose SoundLink wireless headphones are yours for free. That's upside.com/Beck. Claim your gift, the Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. They're great, by the way. Just one more way that Upside is looking out for you and helping reduce the stress of business travel. It's upside.com because you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details. It is upside.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We have some really important news on another breakthrough for society, which I think is really, really good. This is from Tampa, Florida. A man named Jadu says that he is Filipino, except he was born white in Florida, and his name is Adam. But he makes a good case here, and I want you to hear this.
Whenever, you know, whenever I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that, and, you know, nothing else intrigued
me. Can we stop for just a second? Can we just stop for a second? We'll pick it up. I want to start from the beginning again. I just want to stop here and say, we are doomed. We are doomed.
Just an unrelated comment?
Unrelated. It doesn't seem like it entirely.
Okay.
I mean, good heavens, listen to this.
Whenever, you know, whenever I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that. And, you know, nothing else intrigued me more but, you know, things about, you know, Filipino culture. I think if you're unhappy with who you are and you change yourself for the better and that makes you happy, you know, go for it. But I would never say it was a privilege to, you know, be unhappy with yourself all the time. Well, the funny thing is, you know, I had to make sure that it wasn't just me, because if it's just me, then there must be something wrong, or maybe I'm just strange. So, you know, I created the group in hopes of, you know, getting our message out in a bottle. And people started to join. People started to message me about, you know, their conflictions with themselves. My family knows about my transsexuality, but they don't know anything about this. It's just my mom is kind of an older world person.
Okay, stop.
That's an interesting line.
This is, yeah. I knew if I could find others, it wasn't just me. Because if it was just me, then there must be something wrong with me. No, have you ever thought that there's another option? There's something wrong with you and a few other people. Just because you could find somebody else that's like, you know what? I know you're white, but I believe you're Filipino because I'm white and I believe I'm Chinese. That doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with you.
Glenn Beck.
Pimento cheeseburgers with sweet potato oven fries. Roasted pork and cheesy mashed potatoes. Butternut squash pasta. I mean, we're talking gourmet meals, and they come from Blue Apron. You're going to get Blue Apron delivered right to your home, and they will give you this box that comes every week, and they give you all these incredible ingredients, and they're all temperature stored correctly and everything, all in the exact amount that you need. So there's no waste to it, and you don't have to measure anything, which is really the reason I like it the most. Plus, you make these meals, and they're delicious gourmet meals you never thought you could do on your own. At least I couldn't. These are incredible meals, and they're big portions, and they're delicious, delicious foods, and a lot of ingredients that you might not normally cook with. And you can choose and customize really easily with Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu. You're going to get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. It's blueapron.com/stew, a better way to cook.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Bernie Sanders was going out to recycle his cans, and a neighbor attacked him last night and broke both of his legs. Now, if I told you that story and it was true, that would be pretty outrageous, right? It would probably be the biggest thing that has happened. I mean, it would be everywhere. If I told you that Elizabeth Warren's arm was pulled out of her socket by an angry neighbor when she went to pick up her, you know, Amazon Prime box of custom presidential buttons, everyone would be really upset, outraged, and they should be. Why? Because you're human. You have feelings. No person should be viciously assaulted by another person. And at that point, your political opinions don't mean anything. But speaking of political views, you could just imagine how crazy the left would be over their one of their own being treated so badly. But they would be livid, right? And calling for immediate criminal prosecution if it was happening to one of theirs, right? Why is it we hear crickets when it comes to Rand Paul's attack? In his first interview since he was assaulted by his neighbor, Rand struggled to speak. He has 6 broken ribs and a damaged lung. Despite his injuries, he tried to explain that there was still no motive that he could imagine. Rand said this was his first encounter with this neighbor when he was attacked. They never had words over anything. Now, there had been this ridiculous story that his neighbor attacked the senator because of grass clippings. And then it came out that he had vitriolic feelings for the Republicans and he was very anti-Trump. Now, Rand does have a record of siding with Trump, but he is no means the president's cheerleader. There was also talk about the, you know, yard maintenance and the property line, but all of the neighbors have debunked that as a false narrative. So what the hell is going on? A U.S. senator was attacked. We know one thing for certain. Rand's neighbor, who was charged with 4th-degree assault. How does that even work? He was released on Saturday on a $7,500 bail. Isn't it time we all find some common ground and say it doesn't matter if it's Bernie Sanders or Rand Paul? We have to make sure the attacker knows that his behavior is not acceptable, no matter what your political bent is.
Here's some. It's Tuesday, November 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I have been really trying to bone up on the future and reading a lot of science lately. And I'll share some of that with you in the coming weeks. But I firmly believe that when I told you in 2005 that America, you're going to wake up and you're not even going to recognize your country. That seemed crazy. And I think we're there. I think people are like, I don't even understand this world that I'm living in. You take that feeling and, you know, you double that, triple that. That's how you're going to feel. By 2030, life will be completely different on planet Earth, not just the country, but all life, the way we interact with each other, the way we move, everything, medicine. I think we are 15 years away from curing cancer and muscular dystrophy. There's some bright days on the horizon, but it is going to cause a lot of turmoil, especially if you're not prepared for it. So I was reading an article from Auto News, and it came from Bob Lutz. It's called Kiss the Good Times Goodbye. Bob is quite a credible guy. Retired as vice chairman of General Motors, 47-year career in the global automotive industry, senior leadership positions for 4 of the world's leading automakers. He was the former vice chairman and head of development at General Motors. His resume is quite long and extensive, but I would rather have you just listen to him. Bob Lutz is joining us now to talk about the future of the auto industry and the automobile. Bob, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you, Glenn, and you?
I'm great. I'm honored that you would come on the program. You wrote an amazing story called "Kiss the Good Times Goodbye," where you're talking about how everything is going to change, and you say the automobile is a thing of the past.
Yeah, and I said, you know, in that article, I said in 20 years, and if some people are taking issue with that piece. Nobody is taking issue with the future as I outline it. Everybody says, yeah, we accept that. That's the way it's going to be. I think a lot of people have trouble with my statement saying it's going to be in 20 years. And, you know, as I look at it in retrospect, I think, yeah, maybe that is a little overly pessimistic because, first of all, what I didn't say in the article is that the move to fully autonomous modules that are not controlled by humans will occur in stages. And that's what one or two of the critics of my article have pointed out, and they're quite right. It'll begin first in the urban centers where human-driven cars will be banned. But in the outlying areas, in the rural countryside, et cetera, it'll take longer. And the whole thing may take, instead of 20 years, it may take 30. But
So Bob, I that is the one thing that I found in your article, because I thought everything was spot on, except you were talking about fully autonomous vehicles. And the problem we have now is the middle of the country is unmapped. And the middle of the country changes so often because we're building and growing, et cetera, that it's going to take a long time just to be able just to map the entire country. Is that the problem you're seeing as well?
No, I don't think the mapping is going to be a problem because, for instance, one of the big mapping companies, a company called Usher. And I have to disclose that I'm a board member, but they have ways now of putting mapping devices on fleet vehicles, big fleets like FedEx, UPS, and so forth, so that mapping will be a continuous thing. And and that's another reason why it will probably go in stages. But I'll tell you what, the metro areas are thoroughly mapped. And that's where the problem is with human-driven vehicles, is in places like L.A. and Chicago and so forth, where you just there's so much national productivity lost sitting in traffic, not to mention accidents due to distracted driving, texting, and intoxication and so forth. So
Bob, can you take us back to the beginning of this? Because there are several things that are going to change life dramatically. And coming from, a former chair of General Motors, it really carries a lot of weight. Because you say these are not cars as we know it. In fact, performance will be a thing of the past. You think that it could wipe out BMW and Ferrari, et cetera, as we know it. Is General Motors, are they going to be making these pods, or do you see them made by Google?
Well, I don't think Google knows how to manufacture. I think they're good at software, but somebody else will be. They'll be the transportation, the enablers, the transportation providers, but the so-called modules will be made by companies that know how to do that. At low cost, and that'll be the global automobile companies. Except what's going to be gone is the whole brand value of automobiles. You know, mine's more expensive, mine's more prestigious, mine comes from Germany. That's all going to be gone because these driverless or controlless autonomous modules, which of necessity have to be all pretty much the same shape, they're going to be manufactured to the low bidder, and the bids are going to be placed by the big transportation companies, and I fully expect that Uber and Lyft and so forth and other companies, Maven, will be among the big fleets who are the value providers. But General Motors gets it because General Motors owns a piece of Lyft, owns Maven, and so forth, so General Motors is a company that understands that capturing the value is no longer going to be in the sale of the car. Capturing the value is going to be providing the downstream transportation service.
So I've always been impressed, Bob, by the history of General Motors. They you know, Ford gets all the credit for the assembly line, but it was actually the former chairman of Chevy that was working for Henry Ford that actually put it together in a workable way. They also were Fisher Carriage originally, and when they saw the assembly line finally work, they said, okay, we got to get out of the horse and buggy business, and we're going to make automobiles. So they've already transformed once. You see them on the cutting edge of transforming a second time?
I do. I think General Motors has a bigger reservoir of highly skilled people than any other automobile company on the planet. Sometimes, you know, with the so-called bean counters, as I like to call them, tend to inhibit creativity in the interest of short-term profitability. So every large company goes through those phases. But I will tell you, when it comes to technological capability and just basic smarts, I don't think there's any match for General Motors out there.
So
really good.
So, Bob, what does it, because right now people are trying to get their arms around Tesla, which, yeah, you know, it can drive itself, et cetera, but you're still looking at a Tesla that looks like a car and everything else. What does the car of the future look like?
Well, first of all, just a word on the Tesla system. The Tesla system relies on sensors, is not very autonomous. It requires the driver's hand to be on the wheel at all times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas Cadillac Super Cruise will now take you from Chicago to New York or L.A. to San Francisco without you ever touching the wheel. So on vehicle autonomy, General Motors is ahead, too.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't. And and also, what most of the reason why some companies seem to be a little slower is that they understand the value of embedded digital super precise, and that means down to 4 inches, maps. And Tesla up to now does not use maps. They're using a lot of eyes and ears in the car, whereas the GM approach is to do this super precise mapping to where if there were no obstacles, the car could actually get from Detroit to Chicago without any sensors because the car knows so precisely down to 4 inches where it is at all times. The only thing you need the sensors for is other objects. So you go from the Tesla sensing system has to see, it's got to see everything. It's got to see curbstones. It's got to see potholes. It's got to see trees in addition to objects that are in the road. If you have a sufficiently accurate embedded map, all you need is sensors to tell you, like for a blind person, he's got to know that the dog is lying in his path.
So the Tesla will see a pothole, but the GM will not see a pothole?
No, it will see it also because it'll be in the map. And
you're mapping potholes?
Well, it's down to 4 inches when they do freeways.
Wow.
They do every lane separately on a freeway.
Holy cow. Okay, so Bob, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface. I need to take a quick break and then we'll come back with Bob Lutz, author of Icons and Idiots, Straight Talk on Leadership, in just a second. Guy you really need to listen to. All right, the one thing that I think would really help you if you are going in to buy a home or you're going to refinance is to realize that the mortgage company is working for the banks. They're getting paid by the banks to sell you what they call a loan instrument. And it drives me nuts when people say, oh, I hope the bank gives me my loan. They're not giving it to you. They're selling it to you and they're making a ton of money on it. And so usually are the brokers, the mortgage brokers. They're getting a bonus if they sell you the instrument that the bank is pushing. This is why a salary-based mortgage expert is really, really critical for you to make sure that you get the financing that you need and is right for your family. And that's what you'll find at American Financing. With American Financing, straightforward and effortless mortgage experience can be had now at American Financing by calling 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. If you are going to buy a new home, you haven't done the VA loan, or you want to refinance, there's never a better time to refinance than right now. AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Former vice chairman and head of development at General Motors, Bob Lutz, wrote an article, Kiss the Good Times Goodbye. He says the end state will be a fully autonomous module with no capability for the driver to exercise command. You'll call for it. It'll arrive at your location. You get in, input your destination, and go on the freeway. On the freeway, it will merge seamlessly into a stream of other modules traveling at 120 to 150 miles an hour. Bob, why is the average person hearing this kind of stuff and they're not keeping up with technology? What makes this different than the prediction of flying cars?
Well, flying cars, you wind up with either a lousy airplane or a lousy automobile, but it's very hard to ever get flying cars right. And by the way, as I never tire of saying, and I remind my automotive friends of this, vehicle autonomy is actually easier. Full vehicle autonomy is easier to attain in the 3D space than it is on two-dimensional surfaces. If you have, like, an autonomous helicopter taxi service that connects the inner city to the airport and just shuttles back and forth, that, from a technological and software and control standpoint to solve, is far easier than doing it on a surface roadway. So, yeah, there will be a lot of flying modules that operate in three-dimensional space, probably from ground level up to about 1,000 feet so that they don't interfere with regular air traffic and can stay outside the FAA system. So, no, your comment was a very, very astute one. It will be both.
There are people that I think the vast majority of Americans can't get their arms around how different life will be by 2030, including their jobs. Can you go into that at all?
Well, a friend of mine was with IBM, Advanced Systems Development Division, in the 60s, and they forecast that by the year 2000, and, you know, they were off in their timing, we would have a largely cybernated society with machines producing machines, machines designing machines, machines maintaining machines, and a lot of the wealth in the world being created basically fully automatically without human intervention. And what do we do then? And even IBM in the mid-60s postulated that what we were going to have to do is so much wealth is being produced by so little human input that we would evolve a system where people essentially get a guaranteed annual salary just to do nothing, which would enable them to open a little cobbler store or a local bakery or start making violins again.
So
all things that have disappeared. So I do believe that's going to happen. I mean, medicine can largely be replaced by technology.
Okay. So, Bob, hold on just a second. I want to pick it up right there and how life is changing and what it means to the average person.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Programs.
We are lucky enough to have Bob Lutz on. He is the former vice chairman and head of development at General Motors, who wrote an awesome article that you really need to read, Kiss the Good Times Goodbye. Everyone will have 5 years to get their car off the road or sell it for scrap in the future. He says that we are not going to be driving our cars, and our cars are not going to look anything like they look now. In fact, they'll all pretty much be the same, and you won't own one. And Bob, talk to me a little bit about what has to change in the mindset of Americans. I mean, you know, Americans have always loved their car. It's personal to them.
Yep.
And we also, you know, we're a performance nation. I mean, you know, the new Dodge Demon, 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds, 850 horsepower. We like that stuff.
Yeah, well, I like it too, but it's unfortunately increasingly incompatible with the prime reason we have cars. The others are just socio-psychological reasons. They're kind of side benefits of vehicle ownership. The primary purpose of cars, of course, is efficient, safe surface transportation. And sad to say, the automobile as we know it today is increasingly failing in those areas because we have so much congestion and because people, you know, they're not all enthusiastic drivers. A lot of them like to text, take drugs, drink, watch TV on their smartphones, or engage in other risky behavior that has nothing to do with the safe option.
So I can see us regulate it out. You know that in 20 years you can't drive. You know, I don't believe my kids who are young, you know, 11 and 13, are going to be driving very long in their life. Just because of Uber, et cetera, but this is coming. We'll regulate it out. But what I can't get around is how the average American says, I don't want a car anymore, but I see that happening with millennials. But a bigger stumbling block is people like General Motors. You guys make a ton of your money on lending.
Yeah, well, that can continue, and there's nothing to be said that the automobile companies cannot lend to the big fleets like Uber and Lyft, just like GMAC does now. So, you know, I fully expect to see the smart car companies survive, but they'll just survive in a different form. And
who do you think survives and who doesn't survive?
Well, I would say The big companies that can produce efficiently and produce high quality at low cost and it basically produce an unbranded product that'll be branded Lyft or Uber or Maven or whatever, they'll survive. It'll be tougher for the small specialty companies that have sold on image.
Give me an example, because when you're talking to General Motors, I don't know what you mean by a small company. So,
I think specialty manufacturers like Maserati, maybe even BMW or Mercedes, which are, you have to ask yourself, do those companies add any value in the basic transportation function, or do they sell because of a whole series of social beliefs and aura that's attached to the brand, an aura of superiority that's attached to German origin and so forth? Well, when all these things are branded Uber and Lyft and whatever, a brand isn't going to matter.
But there is a difference between getting into getting into a Dodge and getting into a Mercedes. It does, even if you strip it of all of its symbols, there is a difference in the quality of the vehicle. Is there not?
Well, in terms of, yeah, maybe the materials are a little nicer and the seat fabric is a little nicer, but at the end of the day, in terms of performing the transportation function, that's basically the primal reason we have automobiles for it, is human, efficient, rapid, safe, human surface transportation in two dimensions. And, you know, in major urban areas, the automobile as we have it today, not so much the car, but the people that are operating it, and it's an integral part of the equation, increasingly failing in that task. And autonomous modules that are short, not driver-controlled, do not depend on human reaction, where the person in front of you at a traffic light takes 4 seconds to wake up that the light has turned green. None of that's going to happen anymore. And we'll save enormous amounts of productive time for the whole economy.
So you say that just like horses aren't used anymore, but rich people have racehorses, you say that the Ferraris and et cetera, will be had by the uber rich. But no. Will that be used on a racetrack?
Well, no, but there are, first of all, I didn't say racehorses. I said you have to use the analogy of horses in general, so that there will be off-road dude ranches for 4x4s. There will be privately owned tracks where you can drive any car. Some of these might be public, like public golf courses, where you have to demonstrate that you can drive, and if you can drive, you can buy an hour or two on the track. So the car hobby will continue to exist. It's just not going to continue to exist on public roads. And these places are cropping up all over the United States already. There's one in Michigan and Pontiac called M1 Concours. There's one in Illinois, yeah. Autobahn, one in New York called Monticello, and so forth. And you basically buy, it's like a country club. You pay an initiation fee, and then you pay your dues membership, and you can actually leave your cars out there. And there will be manufacturers that continue to cater to that market. And the nice thing about those cars is they'll be totally regulation free. You can make them any way you want, because since they're not on the highways, the feds and the local states have no jurisdiction over them.
So, Bob, as I look into basically what IBM said would happen by the year 2000, they were off by probably about 30 years.
Yeah.
But we are moving in that direction. And as I see the rate of change that is coming, the best thing we can teach our children is that change is constant, and to not cement their thinking into anything, to always be looking for new things and experiencing new things. I don't know how to teach that, even.
No, it's not being taught. In fact, they're being, the liberal establishment is teaching exactly the opposite. I mean, every time some species happens to fade away out of the ocean or the rivers, it's considered a major tragedy, because these people behave like, okay, so the world is millions of years old, but now it's finished. And, you know, the world is never finished. It's in constant state of flux and mutation. And the same thing is true for society and technological progress. Now, I've been asked to describe automotive transportation 150 years from now. And you know what I tell them? I say, we won't even travel anymore. It'll all be virtual.
So, Bob, so what if you are somebody who is working in anything that involves an automobile now? What should you be working on? What should you be thinking? How can you prepare if that is your livelihood? And second, how can we prepare our kids? What should we be teaching our kids now to prepare them for a different America?
Well, I think you put it right. You've got to teach people that change is a constant, or other than death and taxes, the third thing that's for certain is change. We have to make people comfortable with it. As far as if you're working in the automotive or automotive-related industry, keep your nose to the grindstone, learn as much as you can about autonomy, be prepared for change. But, you know, this is going to be a gradual transition. So most of the people working in the industry today will live out their careers in the automotive industry. It's not like it's all going to happen in 5 years. But as we were saying earlier, happen it will. And again, I think you said it right. When it comes to teaching our kids what's important, you have to teach them about the inevitability of change.
Bob Lutz, it is an honor to talk to you, and thank you so much for all of the work that you do with the Marines and our servicemen and women. We're appreciative to for what you've done.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm surprised you know about my Marine Corps service.
Oh, yeah. We do our homework. We do our homework. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
God Bye-bye. Bless you. Bob Lutz, former vice chairman of General Motors and head of development at General Motors.
Incredible. I mean, the vision of that future, you think of all the things that would need to change. I mean, you know, we've been talking about a $1 trillion stimulus bill over the past year or so in Washington. How differently should that money be spent if it were to be spent?
Entirely differently.
When thinking about a future like that, and I can't imagine that Washington has a handle on this.
No, you talk to people, because I have. You talk to people in Washington now, they wouldn't even understand what he's saying. And I believe he's too pessimistic on the timeline.
Do you think 20 years is not too far out?
I think 15 years is right on the money. And it may be maybe changing, he might be, I may be wrong on, you know, the banning of cars, but we will, by 2030, we will be talking about that seriously. And I don't know when the technology really cements itself, but by 2030, you will not recognize your life. You will not recognize the country.
Well, as you think of how this stuff happens, the iPhone was released 10 years ago. I mean, think of how different the world is because of that invention and others like it. And I think a lot of people look at that stuff and they think, it's so far in the future. And you know what? People aren't going to accept those changes.
Yeah,
and,
they are.
And Bob outlines it really well in his article. You don't have to. You know who's going to do it for you? Amazon, Uber, Lyft, Google, Apple. All these companies are going to buy these things in the hundreds of thousands. And they have so much power and so much influence that over time, it's going to change not only the market. Why are companies going to keep building these things for individuals when they can sell hundreds of thousands to large companies, but also through regulation? These companies are already huge donors, huge lobbyists. They're already moving policy like crazy. And as this stuff happens and they're the ones manufacturing those cars, it's going to move fast.
And you also see, if you look at any of the trends of millennials, they're not buying cars. They're just not buying cars like we used to. When I was a kid and I turned 16, I mean, I was dreaming about my first car. That's not happening now. It's just not the same. And they're looking at cars and saying, why would I carry that load? Why would I want one, especially in bigger cities, when I could Uber? And it will happen in the cities first, but it'll eventually hit everywhere. And it's going to come faster than you think. All right, let me tell you about our sponsor. It's LifeLock. Shopping online has its pluses, but it also comes with some risks. With the holidays approaching, you believe that it is next week, isn't
next
it?
Week is
next week is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
That's why I've been on such a strict diet lately. Making sure that I don't, because I know I may indulge a little on Thanksgiving, I've been making sure I look this good now.
Yeah,
it's been a real rough road, and
real rough.
You know, but I take it. You know what? You
takes
sacrifice
a lot of eating to look like that.
Yeah, it does. You know what? Too much.
Right.
More than I can
know.
Burn.
No, I. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Thanksgiving and the shopping season. Black Friday is next Friday, a week from this coming Friday. If you're shopping online, your identity and your financial status may not be safe. The information that you are giving over the internet is pretty intense. Do not use a hotspot. Shop on sites with secure payment methods like credit cards or gift cards. Use a strong password and do not use a hotspot. Use your own internet connection. Those are the things that you can do, but there's a ton of stuff that just, you know, you can't block. Identity fraud will cost Americans $16 billion. That's just in 2016, $16 billion. And if you're only monitoring your credit card, your identity can be stolen and you don't even know it. LifeLock. They use proprietary technology to help detect a wide range of identity theft. And if they detect any kind of your information being used or stolen or compromised in any way, they send you alert. And then they have somebody there on staff here in America that contacts you and works to fix it. Nobody can nobody can watch all transactions at all businesses or stop identity theft entirely. But LifeLock is the best. So go to LifeLock.com right now. Before you do any holiday shopping, get LifeLock, 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck. That's Beck, and you'll get 10% off your LifeLock membership. So visit LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck. Save 10% now. LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So glad that you have joined us today. I hesitate to say this because this is like Elvis for me. I have waited my whole life since I was 8. And I found out this guy just played Wembley Stadium, and I was so upset. I mean, I would have saved to be able to see him. And I thought he's never going to perform again. ELO just announced that they're doing a 10-city American tour, and the tickets go on sale Friday. Do not even think about getting ahead of me on tickets. Don't even think about it. I hesitated to even say it on the air.
Amazingly, I'm able to hold back.
Yeah, I know. If you're my age, Jeff Lind and ELO, and they haven't done stuff. I think this is the first time they've done anything in 30 years here. I mean, it's crazy.
Sure, on another channel, you might be hearing about Taylor Swift's new tour.
Yeah, but not on this channel.
But not on this one.
Not on this channel. Not on this channel. Back in a second with a look at Roy Moore from a different perspective.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Oh, thank goodness I know how to think again. I know who to worship. GQ Magazine has just named their Citizen of the Year. And, of course, say it with me. When I say Citizen of the Year, you immediately think Colin Kaepernick. Right, right. You know, it kind of makes you wonder what exactly their selection criteria is. Some might have a hard time seeing this one. So let's just take a quick rundown on memory lane here. Back in 2013, Kaepernick was one of the best players in football. A true Citizen of the Year, you know, would have begun his activism when he was on top. But Colin mysteriously was quiet during this time. When he was everybody's favorite, he was fine. He was posing naked in ESPN's body issue. But activism? No. No, he didn't have time for that. He had a brand to build. Now, Kaepernick's meteoric NFL rise was rivaled only by his fall, and as his play declined and the magazine covers dried up, suddenly he appeared very, very interested on oppression. Colin didn't have to move far to, you know, begin his taking a knee position. I mean, because, you know, he was sitting right there on the bench. It was just a real quick trip right to the ground. But GQ apparently didn't find this suspicious that when he was on top, he was doing naked magazine stuff. And then when he was at the bottom and nobody wanted to talk to him, suddenly he found things that were just too horrible. He had to speak out. They elevated him to the level yesterday in GQ of Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. Whew. Forget the fact that he was never interested in speaking out until it became convenient for him to do so. And when it stopped being convenient, as is his prospects in the NFL ran out, he went silent for an entire year to try to get his job back. So let me just recap. Colin Kaepernick's Citizen of the Year campaign. The winner of GQ's award went to a man that began a misguided cause for selfish reasons, and then who abandoned that misguided cause again for selfish reasons. Oh, and I haven't even mentioned the fact that he glorifies Che Guevara, a mass murderer. And he even has admitted that he doesn't even vote. This qualifies him to be the citizen of the year? Give me a second here. How many people can you just, now just off the top of your head, that might deserve that a little? Just real quick. How about J.J. Watt? He raised over $37 million to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. $37 million. Completely on his own. No outside help. No selfish reasons. What do you think about him? How about, what was the guy's name? The Stephen Wilford. He was the guy, the private citizen that exercised his rights, the Second Amendment, and in the process stopped a mass murderer. He wasn't a cop. He was just a guy who ran out of the house, grabbed his gun because his neighbors were being shot to death. He didn't even have shoes on. Well, he didn't have a deal with Nike. I don't know if we can put him on GQ. How about the police that took down the New York City truck terrorist, or the Green Berets that died fighting terrorists in Niger, or Colette Sulzer, the woman who sacrificed her own life to save her infant daughter from the waters of Hurricane Harvey? No, Colin Kaepernick, he's the guy. Those are examples of heroes committing uncommon acts of selflessness, in the same way that Jackie Robinson did, in the same way that Muhammad Ali did. Can GQ say the same for Colin Kaepernick?
It's Tuesday, November 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We have the one, the only, John Ziegler with us, a columnist, a podcast host, and a really smart guy who you're going to find yourself disagreeing with from time to time, as it should be. Welcome to the program. How are you, John?
Glenn, great to talk to you. That was a tremendous commentary on Colin Kaepernick, by the way. For a guy who doesn't know football, I'm guessing Stu might have helped you with the football stuff.
Well, he might have helped me with the football stuff, but
a little. Maybe.
I saw Colin Kaepernick yesterday, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is just, I can't take it anymore. John, I have to, you'll have to look this up. We have in the studio you'll get a kick out of this. We have a jacket. Can you bring it over here?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
We have a jacket that is a like an army jacket, and the designers have taken a Sharpie. I'm not kidding you. It's a Sharpie, and they've written Revolution on the front, the anarchist symbol. They tried to bury us, but they did not know we were seeds. The bombing for peace is like effing for virginity. My favorite is, I am valuable, I am powerful, I am deserving. And it's written all over this jacket. They're selling this jacket at Barney's in New York for $400.
And people wonder how Trump got elected.
I mean, that's just... And by the way, here's a Molotov cocktail while you're going around the store and you just throw it through any window. I mean, that's insanity. Just insanity.
There's a lot of that going around.
Okay. So, John, help me out. I am uncomfortable. I'm finding myself in this position where, as Stu said today, I am both the biggest defender and the biggest critic of Roy Moore, apparently, online. because I believe the accusers, but I'm also very cautious here because this can turn into a witch hunt. If it hasn't already, it will at some point.
When, Yeah, I think your instincts are excellent on this. And I think that the Roy Moore situation has caused a real problem for those of us who believe in things like precedence and not causing, you know, a situation where we're setting new rules that are going to come back to haunt us in the future. I think that, and I'm somebody who does not like Roy Moore. I think he's a nut. I don't believe he belongs in the Senate. I tend to believe the accusers, but I also know that the standards that are being used to evaluate those accusers are very different than they were, for instance, with Bill Clinton. That's
oh my gosh, I can't.
And I think we're seeing this in almost all of these instances of sex abuse hysteria, which has now taken over the culture since Harvey Weinstein, which I wrote about in media yesterday. I mean, the New York Daily News over the weekend had 11 guys on their front page of their newspaper, not one of whom has ever been sued publicly or charged with a crime, with the headline Perv Nation. And with regard to Moore specifically, I think that where I differ with regard to the mob yesterday is, you know, take a look at that yearbook inscription, which I fully acknowledge is weird and creepy for a guy much older than the girl was at the time.
I mean, have you ever signed outside of high school, John? Have you ever signed a high school yearbook?
No,
neither have I. There seems to be a lot of them floating around with his signature in it, which is weird.
No. And look, and I think that it absolutely goes to the idea that this guy had a thing for young girls. There's no question about that. But yesterday's story was assault. That's very different.
Yes.
And to me, the idea that a very friendly, perhaps overly friendly, yearbook inscription 40 years later can be used as it was being used yesterday as proof of an assault 40 years later? That should scare the living daylights out of anybody, because we are setting rules up now where it is exceedingly easy to destroy somebody based upon a false story. And let's be clear about something. This is the part the media will never accept because it's way too politically incorrect. But one of the things that has happened to our culture, and I'm not saying this has anything to do with Roy Moore, okay? I want to make this clear. But there's no question that in our culture over the last generation, being a victim no longer has any stigma. In fact, for many people, being a victim is something to champion, that you can embrace being a victim, and you can get paid a heck of a lot of money now in our culture under the right circumstances for being a victim. And so the pendulum has swung so much, understandably so. Look, there was a time when no one wanted to come forward and tell these stories, and it was too tough to prove. I get that. But in an effort to try to correct that, we have gone so far in the other direction, and now the media is publishing, major news outlets are publishing allegations, not just against Roy Moore, but against, you know, minor celebrities from 30 years ago based upon nothing but somebody's word when they haven't been charged with a crime. They haven't been even sued. And to me, you know, whenever the news media is involved in a firestorm that involves emotional hysteria, their completion percentage is way worse than Colin Kaepernick. Okay?
Is that possible? I don't know. Yeah.
So John, so let's, can we just go through this for a second? Because, for instance, George Takei, I don't like this guy at all.
Right.
However, I heard, you know, the one story and thought, okay, this is not cool. I mean, 30 years ago, one guy.
Right.
How is this news? And then I heard him on, you know, I heard the tape of him on Howard Stern, and I'm like, well, he's kind of admitting that that's what he did. So I don't know. Out of all of them, I tend to believe the people, unless there was a personal relationship with the person. If there's a personal relationship with somebody, then I generally don't. Then I look at it and say, I don't know. However, I don't know. I don't want to defend, but I don't want to condemn.
Look, I'm actually somewhat similar to where you are, but I want to take this out of the theoretical and put it into the practical, you know, for, especially for someone like you, Glenn. Because none of the stories that have been prominently reported to me make my BS detector, which is pretty finely tuned, go off, okay? But that doesn't mean they're real. That doesn't. But I'm just saying that none of them are like, wait a minute, there's no way that's true. But think about the rules that we're now creating, with George Takei being a pretty good example. I mean, what relevance is George Takei in our culture today? I mean, he's not running for anything. He doesn't run a business, but let's take a look at these new rules, and let's put this in the form of you, Glenn, okay? Because I actually think that you are maybe the most vulnerable person to a false accusation of sex abuse that I can think of. Let's go through the criteria now that's been created in the last few weeks. Is the person sufficiently famous? Check. Are they not particularly beloved by the masses of the media? Jack.
Okay, let's not give anybody ideas.
No, keep building this roadmap. I like it, John. Keep going.
Does he claim to be of a high moral character so they can accuse him of hypocrisy?
Check.
Is he in charge of hiring and firing large groups of people?
Check.
Check. Has he recently fired a young woman known for her sex appeal?
Uh-oh.
Check. Is he not attractive enough so that it would be widely believed that any sort of sexual act with an attractive female would therefore have to be consensual?
I actually feel like he's guilty right now after that, if you're laying it out like that.
Now, luckily, the Blaze hasn't recently fired any attractive woman who would be seen as credible by the rest of the news media. So you have that going for you, which is nice. So you know that's about the only thing you have in your favor is that woman's lack of credibility.
All right.
But I think you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I can.
Any allegation against you would be instantly believed now, and it would be reported.
Well, so here's
and as soon as it's reported, it's over.
Yeah, I know.
It's over.
So here's the. Here's the amazing thing. Media Matters spent, I mean, it's well documented. They spent over $1 million to try to discredit me and find something on me. I mean, Cheryl Atkinson outlines it in her own book. Mm-hmm. And I remember people going through my garbage. I mean, we knew people were going through my stuff to try to find. We knew private investigators were doing investigations on me. I was clean, so I wasn't worried. Today, John, it doesn't matter if they have anything. They can completely make it up. And you're right. It's over within the day.
And there's no way to defend yourself now because the forces of political correctness have taken away the very few weapons that anyone would theoretically have. Like, I mean, for instance, you know, when the Harvey Weinstein thing, and I think Harvey Weinstein's guilty of just about everything he's been accused of, but, you know, do you remember there was this big controversy because Lisa Bloom wanted to use friendly photos of him with his accusers after the fact. Now, if you're not allowed to even use those, if that's taken off the table, if that's verboten, if that's politically incorrect, what is somebody supposed to do?
Well, look at what happened with
negative.
Look at with Sean Hannity. What happened with Sean Hannity? That was not a softball interview. He did ask him tough questions. And he's being called a supporter of a child molester, and they're trying to pull his advertisement because what? He let the man tell his story?
I agree that that's, and I'm no fan of Sean, as you know, but I agree that is a very dangerous precedent. And interestingly, you know, Bill O'Reilly called me yesterday after my column. I haven't spoken to Bill in a decade, or almost a decade, and, you know, I've been one of those who has been very suspect of the idea that anyone could pay $32 million on a false story. But as you know, Glenn, and I have to tell you, I mean, you've been, you know, somewhat supportive of Bill, and that's made me go, wait a minute, there's got to be something here.
Did you talk to him?
There's no question in my mind that Bill believes that he was railroaded.
Yeah.
100%. Now, if that's the case, I don't know. I would like to find out more. I think he needs to explain better the $32 million. He says he can't for legal reasons. But, you know, but my mind is now even open to that. I mean, because that's the environment we're living in. Things that would be impossible are actually exceedingly possible. And as you guys know, my history on the Penn State case, which I'm still investigating, and big things might be happening on soon. I mean, these things are happening on a constant basis now, and we're setting very, very dangerous precedents and new rules that we are going to rue in very short order.
John, where should people go to find you?
FreeSpeechBroadcasting.com is where my podcast is, and Mediate is where my columns are.
Yeah, really, really, really good. I highly recommend you listen and follow John. He says it. He shoots right from the hip. And you may not like it sometimes, but he shoots right from the hip. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn.
It's amazing. I, you know, 'cause I look at these accusers and I say, yeah, they seem pretty credible. But I was thinking of the way that we talked about that. We all said these things. I said, seems pretty credible. He said, my BS detector isn't going off. And you said, I tend to believe the victims. These are not standards that you ruin people's lives over.
No.
And it's impossible to see how we're going to turn back from this.
Okay, so there was a there's a story that came out. Gold coins and bars saw demand rise 17% to 222 tons of gold. 17%. You know who was buying them? Russia was one of the big ones. Russia and the central banks are gobbling up gold because when everything is going crazy, you might want to do your reserves. You know what really kills me is that America is not buying gold. How we are not putting gold into reserve now is beyond me. Please don't be like America. Don't do it, please. Right now, Goldline is offering free gift cards on qualified purchases and 1 year of free storage on IRA purchases. And they'll give you a free American lapel pin just for calling to learn more. This is your chance to read their important risk information, see if buying gold is right for you. Putting yourself on a stable, sure footing in a world that no longer makes sense. When that happens in the financial markets, that's when the world always, for thousands of years, goes back to gold. It will happen. Have your insurance policy with Goldline ready. 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-465-3546. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
This is a geek day for me. This is double geekdom. ELO announced a 10-city North American tour today, which I will fly to Greenland to see them. And the only other person that I feel this way about is Michael Bublé. And he's just announced his first concert since his son has been sick.
Yeah, his son had diagnosed with cancer, and it's been a while since he's performed anywhere. He will be performing, you'll have to travel a little bit, British Summertime in Hyde Park, July 2018. Only performance in the UK that year. So you got one shot at this.
It's coming this summer?
2018, July.
In July. Well, we might miss that one, but welcome back, Michael Bublé.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
If you've missed any of the show today, you've missed a lot. You missed Bob Lutz, the former General Motors executive, former vice chairman and head of development at General Motors, who talks, we spent an hour with him talking about the future, what it means to the auto industry. He says cars are over in the next 15 to 20 years, and you won't own your own car, and there won't be automakers like General Motors. And I think he said BMW and Mercedes were specialty car companies that he said they were the smaller car companies that would probably go out of business. Because they're a specialty line. Pretty amazing. If you missed it, go check it out at glennbeck.com. Also, there's a couple of other things. The AR chainsaw video that we actually built one on Friday, and I took it to the range, and it works pretty well. I mean, I want to thank USA Today for the chainsaw bayonet idea, but it works pretty well, and you can check that out at glennbeck.com as well. There's a lot up there today. Pat Gray joins us now from Gray Unleashed.
I'm just finishing up here.
What are you ready?
Stay your same sweet self and have a bitchin' summer.
Oh, just
And, okay.
Signing your yearbook?
I was over at the malt shop signing malt your yearbooks.
Really?
And,
wow. Right.
Couldn't get them all finished up before I had to come out here. So,
yeah. You know, I have to tell you, Pat.
Roy was with me, and you know, it's a nice time.
Yeah.
It's a nice time.
Yeah. Pat, Stu and I were talking earlier today. I can't remember, outside of high school, I can't remember the last yearbook I signed.
Outside of high school?
Outside of high school.
I didn't sign that many in high school.
I didn't either.
So, yeah, since high school, the grand total is, other than today at the malt shop.
Yeah, carry the one.
Bring that down. None. Zero.
Zero. Zero. None. Zero. Yeah.
None.
Mm. As John Ziegler pointed out, it does not mean you are guilty of rape if you sign a yearbook.
Of course not.
However... the fact that he said he had never heard of the restaurant before,
and kind of a problem.
Wrote it in the yearbook
it.
Is a problem.
Hey, Old Hickory Restaurant. What's the Old Hickory Restaurant? Never heard of it.
Three words I thought of at that time. Had nothing to do with our actual
Let
restaurant.
Me play devil's advocate here. I am not sticking up for the guy because I believe the accusers. I really do. So I'm not sticking up for him, but let me play devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
That A, the handwriting looks like his. We don't know if it is his. It looks like his.
They haven't had an expert yet, to my knowledge, have they?
No.
That has gone over that.
No.
Right.
Which would make sense. Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah, it looks like his. Okay, let's make sure it is his.
Right.
And even if it is his, you know, the problem comes in saying, I don't know what Old Hickory is. I mean, it's not that big of a town, dude. I mean, how did you forget the Old Hickory restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
But he says he doesn't know what it is. But just because he signed it, she's 16 years old. She's working as a waitress. She's in high school. She's got her yearbook there. The DA comes in. He's famous. I want him to sign my yearbook. Hey, you know, Mr. Moore, will you sign my yearbook? Sure. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And he writes down Old Hickory because that's where they met. That's feasible.
Oh, yeah.
That is feasible.
It is.
It's at least a shadow of a doubt. Now, again, I don't want him in the Senate. I wasn't for him in the first place, but I would love to have a conservative in the Senate, but I just don't want a guy who is touching little girls.
It doesn't seem like a high hurdle to clear.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? In Washington, it's getting. It seems to be, doesn't it?
It does seem to be more.
It really
and more
does.
I don't know what to think anymore. I just. I didn't believe it at first. I was kind of thinking, okay, I still can't get past the timing of it. The timing is amazing. I mean, what an amazing coincidence that all of a sudden, 1 month before the special election, all of this starts coming out.
Well,
you've had 40 years.
May I play devil's advocate again?
You may.
If I can play devil's advocate, this hasn't just come out of the blue. This is because... Harvey Weinstein came out, and now all of a sudden America is saying, you know, bring out your dead, bring out your dead.
Yes.
And so everybody now is purging. And so it just happens to coincide. There's two ways to look at it. I could convict the guy, and at the same time, I could convince myself there's reasonable doubt. Let him alone. So I don't know what to do.
I think a good solution is what they're kind of talking about with Sessions. Let you know, do a writing campaign with him and put him back in the Senate. Since since Trump's not happy with him anyway, you know, they're not getting along.
There's no way it's going to be a writing campaign.
I don't know. It's only worked once that I can remember.
Elect him and then let the Senate dismiss him, and there'll have to be another special election.
Look, the Alabama voters have a right to be able to choose. And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee can all come out and say that they don't endorse him anymore, but it's got nothing to do with them. It's the people in Alabama have to choose this. And I just don't like the idea that they're making decisions based on these things. It'd be nice if they were just, you know, being able to vote on policy and things like that. But I mean, this is a legit, it's not a throwaway issue.
Well,
if it's true.
It's not like you had somebody that was, you know, a hero that just, you know, saved lives at the ballpark just a few just a
and
few
a real
before.
Conservative that has one of the best audio clips of all time when he told when MSNBC said
you had that guy to choose from.
Exactly. I think I'm gonna make something to post on the internet today of don't blame me, I voted for Mo Brooks, because I do think that is a It's a frustrating part of this because it wasn't like it was establishment versus Moore and that was it. You had a guy who was a real conservative that has never done anything wrong, that was saving, he was resuscitating people at a mass shooting like 2 months before the election, and they're still like, ah, no, let's take that other guy. Like, come on, Alabama.
Well, Alabama, I mean, you know, Roy Moore is a hero in Alabama because of, I think Alabama still votes for him.
I think he has got a good chance to
vote for
him. Based on
the people I've talked to from Alabama, this makes some of them more likely to vote for him.
Because they see
because
it as an
it's out, kind of a, it's kind of an in-your-face. Mm-hmm. It's like a Donald Trump thing. Mm-hmm. The media is trying to sway this election, and so they're going against the tide.
Someone pointed out, I think it was on one of the news channels yesterday, that it would have probably been more likely to sink him in this campaign if it came from a local paper. The idea that it comes from the Washington Post just feels like this out like attack from around the country. They're just coming after our guy.
Did you see the reporters, the local reporters that talked about that? They're pissed at themselves because they all said, we've known this forever. I mean, this is a well-known thing,
Which is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And they've said, but nobody ever talked about it. Everybody knew about it, so it wasn't really news. And it took, you know, the Washington Post to come down because it was new to them. And we were like, oh, crap. Well, yeah, we should have done that.
Now, are they saying it was well known that the guy dated young girls?
Yes.
That he was dating, well known that he did, you know, he dated 14-year-olds?
No, that he was dating very young.
Yeah.
And yet again, that is the line here. I mean, the accuser that came out yesterday accused him of an assault. Right. An actual assault, which is a different line. But the first story, and again, because it's Gloria Allred, I have no idea whether to put any stock into this person. I you know, it's just because she just so automatically taints anything she's involved in. Which is, I don't know why you go to her.
Yeah. She's the white Al Sharpton.
Yeah. It's because you just don't trust anything that comes out coming from that camp. I don't know why you go that direction.
She stands next to her, just like Al Sharpton, stands next to a, quote, victim. And Gloria Allred, the same way, stands next to a, quote, victim. And you automatically go, well, I don't think I believe them.
Right,
just because of her. She hurts the victim.
Because, I mean, everyone can, you can relate to someone who felt like it was tough to come out. You can relate to someone who went through a terrible tragedy. I can't relate to someone who thinks the best way to handle that is to go to Gloria Allred. It's such an impossible hurdle for me to clear, to use that phrase again. It's just like, you're in the worst situation of your life. You're trying to explain something. You're going on the national stage, and you go to this person who has been so shady and, in my mind, discredited over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. It just seems like such a crazy step to take.
Yeah.
That
Do you believe her? Not Gloria Allred. Do you believe the
this latest one didn't seem believable to me.
How much of that is Gloria Allred?
Seriously.
Yeah. I think a lot.
Yeah.
And it reminded me the whole time I was thinking of the Duke lacrosse team with Al Sharpton. Mm-hmm. It was the same scenario.
See, it's the Gloria Allred thing, because I tried, I immediately dismissed her, and then I went back and I was like, okay, watch her with a hand over Gloria Allred sitting right next to her. And it reminded me of the Juanita Broderick interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Juanita. I believe her 100%.
It's amazing how little attention that case has received. I mean, you pointed this out earlier, Glenn. If they come out and start hammering Bill Clinton and take down Bill Clinton from these allegations, multiple allegations over many years, then you'll start to take them seriously.
Yeah, I won't take the left seriously until they go after Bill Clinton. When they say, you know what? What we did to Juanita Broderick and Paula Jones,
Kathleen Willey.
Kathleen Willey, all of those people that
dozens
were very credible.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did to them by dismissing them and playing politics, we're going to believe them. Then they have something. Then I'm like, okay, all right, they're serious. Until they do that, they have no credibility. None. Zero.
And you're starting to see a little bit of that now. I mean, during Hillary's campaign, BuzzFeed had an extensive profile of Juanita Broderick, which was, I would say, very favorable to her and her story.
She is so credible. She's the most credible. I remember seeing her on 60 Minutes back in the 90s. And I remember watching that going, okay, I don't know about Paula Jones. I mean, it seems credible, blah, blah, blah. But Juanita, absolutely credible. And she's more dangerous for the Clintons because, remember, her charge is she was having an affair with him, or no, she was raped by him. Yeah. She was raped by him. Mm. And then Hillary came up and said, what you've done with my husband. I know what's happened with my husband or something like this. And I just want you to know
how at a fundraiser she did this.
How important you are to me. And she said it was so creepy and evil. She couldn't take it. When they take Juanita Broderick seriously, that's when you will be able to say, okay, let's talk about other people now. But until you take on your own, and it's the same with us. If we don't take people seriously with Trump, with Roy Moore or anybody else, and that doesn't mean condemn them. That means listen to it. Do not just say it's a political game and then use your common sense. Is this true? Is this not? I don't want to condemn anybody. I also don't want to I don't want to support them because I don't know. I don't know.
Pat, you didn't sign that last year.
I have a itching summer.
You did that the last time.
Class of 18.
Okay.
All right, all done.
18, you didn't finish the rest. 78. 1878.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
Thank you very much.
It's an old yearbook.
Yeah. He's got old fans.
He is, I guess so. Pat Gray,
who hangs out at the malt shop?
I don't know, but a malt sounds freaking delicious. Ever since he said that, that's all I've thought about. That's because I'm overweight. Pat Gray Unleashed is coming up on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. You can also subscribe to the podcast at iTunes and everywhere else.
Attention gun owners. Can you say with 100% confidence that your family and your home are safe? Can you say you know what to do and if you're forced to pull the trigger, you're going to be fine? Do you know what to say when the police arrive? These are important things that every responsible gun owner needs to know. You not only need to go through the classes to be able to be trained to know when to pull a gun, know, you know, when not to pull a gun, but you also need those kinds of answers. What do you say? What happens afterwards? These are some of the answers you're going to find in the USCCA's Complete Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide. You're about to miss your chance to get yours completely free. Unless you act now, 164-page guide, they have a free audiobook, and in it you're going to learn how to detect attackers before they see you, the safest and most dangerous places to sit in public spaces. You know what? When I first read that, I thought that was crazy. I'm like, what kind of world do we live in? The world we live in right now is, I mean, we're living it now, where you really do have to think, I'm in a public space, where should I sit? It's crazy. 164 pages, comes with a bonus audio version so you can listen to it in your car, and it's life-changing, possibly life-saving, 100% free. Visit protectanddefend.com right now. Get access to this 100% free instant access, protectanddefend.com. Go there now, protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
It's really happy to be part this year of the Mercury One Ball and be part of the team that the rules committee for the grand prize of a 2017 truck.
Wait,
GMC Canyon pickup truck.
You're part of the rules committee?
Yeah, we had a couple. I mean, most of it was pretty much the same as last year, except for obviously we did change the employees eligibility thing,
right?
Now you are eligible as an
employee. Yeah, I don't think so. No,
and obviously I will be selecting the winning entry.
None of those things are true,
which I think we can make them true.
No, we can't.
If somebody wants half the price of a truck, we can make them true.
No, what do I look like, Martha Stewart? Okay, so here's the. I'm sorry, Martha, because look at me lately. So we're giving away this brand new GMC Canyon pickup truck. And if you would like to win, you can enter a raffle. All the proceeds go to Mercury One and help us, you know, get to rescue people in the Middle East, get to the floods and the hurricanes and the fires and everything else. This is our yearly fundraiser, mercuryone.org/M1ball. And there's lots of things you could do. Register to win the truck. There's a good chance you win this truck. You don't have to be present to win. You can, there's stuff for auction that you can buy, including, I think, they're probably not up yet, but the paintings that I just did. I just finished. I brought them in. They're the three.
Really cool.
The three people that brought the Berlin Wall down: Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul, and Ronald Reagan. You can bid on those. You can come and attend the ball, which is Saturday, and Aaron Watson's going to be performing. It's going to be a great time, and we have a big announcement that we're making on Saturday.
And obviously, as part of the Rules Committee, I will be there as well.
No, you very will important. Be there, but you're not part of the Rules Committee. It's mercury1.org/M1ball. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock, part two of our series on Antifa. What do they really stand for? Don't miss it.
Glenn Beck.